Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord on this beautiful morning the Lord has given to us. Are you an influencer or are you one who is influenced? Depending on the situation, we are both. It's important to know when it's okay to be influenced by someone or something and when we need to be the influencer. When it comes to God's Word, He influences us with it so we can influence others with that Word. So we ask God to help us make the distinction so that we can remain faithful to Him and with His Word. That, dear friends, is what faithfulness to the Word looks like on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. And so we ask the Lord to bless us in our worship of Him. The bulletin is found online as well, so you can find it on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. If it's not there, hopefully you receive our weekly email. The link is there. I invite your attention to the middle of page 3 as we continue with our invocation. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
He is Lord, forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand as we continue in the top of page 4. What does God tell us about ourselves in His holy word?
He says that we are sinners and deserve only His punishment.
When we realize that we have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should we do?
We will confess before God all our sins, those which we remember as well as those.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to his people, if you forgive anyone the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do what is right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without you, may by your help be enabled to live according to your will.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Numbers, the 27th chapter, pointing out the fact that the Lord knows it is not good to leave people to fend for themselves. Then the Lord said to Moses, go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribath Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to rest in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
Faithfulness to the Word of God points out that that includes the fact that God does not change, and recognizing that His goals and expectations for us and of us do not change either. A reading from Holy Scripture, Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out!
Who is that?
Who was ever given to God that God should repay him?
For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 6th chapter. People then and people still today are in need to hear the voice of Jesus. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with the hymn, Christ Be My Leader. What is in great abundance to you is God's grace, mercy, and peace. And that is through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have such. We want to focus on this portion of Holy Scripture. We hear once again from Numbers 27. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, do you make good decisions? Are you confident in your answer? Do you believe that you make decisions, good decisions for others, whether they ask for your advice or not? Daily, we are faced with the task of making decisions. We have to admit that of all the decisions we make each and every day, not all of those decisions are good ones. Well, at least some of us have to admit that. Thankfully, not every failed decision comes with a life-changing for the worst consequence. When a teacher leaves a room filled with students, what decision do those students have to make? When you were that age, What decision did you make? When a building is left unprotected due to a disaster or a riot, what decision do those who come across that unprotected building have to make? It is Sunday morning, and we have a decision to make. For some, that can be a difficult decision. For too many of our fellow members, the decision is to not connect with God and with fellow members while we worship God in His house. Now, we can do that in person and online, but too many don't even make the decision to join online. Jesus said it well. Moses, too, said it in the scriptures, which serve as the focus of our attention for today, that people, us, especially when left to ourselves, are like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, we do not always make the best of decisions. In fact, we can easily be influenced by others. Take, for example, that teacherless classroom and what too often happens. Or that vacated building that people come across and what they think now is theirs for the taking. Spiritually, we do not always align ourselves with God's will either. In fact, by nature, we are not aligned with God, even though by nature we do have a natural knowledge of God written on our heart, the natural law written on our heart. And so we know by nature that murder, for example, or stealing, or gossiping is wrong, and yet we make the decision to do such things anyway. Instead of being an influencer on the world, we too often allow ourselves to be influenced by the world. And that's nothing new with us, people of today. Moses had to deal with such in his time, as the children of Israel were not always good decision makers, even though at times they had plenty of faithful leaders guiding them along the way. And yet, instead of being influenced by those leaders, they allowed themselves to be influenced by a different kind of leader, one who did not have their best interests in mind. Well, faithfulness to the Word, as we see today, it looks like this. It includes faithful leadership. And we have plenty of examples throughout the Scriptures of what faithful leadership is to look like. One of those examples before us is Moses. He was called by God to lead His people Israel for a specific task, to lead them out of the slavery conditions in Egypt to the earthly promised land of Canaan. Now, this was going to be no small feat, right? And Moses was not on board with it, especially at first. But this call came from the Lord. And the Lord had to remind him, too, that he was equipped for the task. Recall how Moses grew up in the land of Egypt, in Pharaoh's court. So he knew Egyptian customs very well. He knew how to hold himself. But he never forgot his children of Israel roots. In fact, that's what got him into trouble one day. And so he ended up having to leave the land of Egypt for his own life's sake. And so the Lord used that experience as well while he's out there in the wilderness, in the desert, taking care of sheep as part of the learning experience too. So the Lord, again, not only called Moses for the task, he had been equipping Moses for that task. Moses carried out that task overall faithfully. Leading the children of Israel was not an easy task, right? Because once they left the land of Egypt, what were they continually doing? Complaining. And that calls for patience. And there was a time or two when Moses said, "Lord, these people are yours. You got them." And the Lord said, "No, you got them." Moses remained faithful. And so when the children of Israel would complain, at times Moses would have to be stern with them and point out that they were acting like spoiled children rather than the gifted children that they truly were. And then at other times, he would uplift them by reminding them of the promises of God, of the salvation promise especially, but also the fact that God was equipping them for this earthly promised land to be an influencer on the people in the world and not to be ones who are to be influenced by the world. And yet, despite that encouragement from Moses and from the Lord God himself, too often the people of Israel allowed themselves to be influenced rather than being the influencer. And then when it came for the transition of leadership, we are told Moses did not complain. Though he was not going to be able to enter the earthly promised land, something that he was charged to do, but he would not be able to do that because of an act of disobedience. And when we go back a few chapters and we look at that act of disobedience, who of us could really blame Moses and his brother Aaron in being upset with the people of Israel who were too busy complaining again? There was no water. And so the Lord said, "Moses, speak to this rock and water will come." Well, the Israelites, complainers that they were, got to Moses, and Moses didn't simply speak to the rock, he struck that rock. And because of that, unfair it may be to us, he would not be allowed to enter the earthly promised land. But Moses did not complain. What did he say? "Lord, since I'm not the one who is going to be leading the people into the land, appoint someone who will be faithful in that task." And Moses knew that the Lord God would do that, and the Lord had someone in mind. But before we get to that person, we do have an example of not so faithful leadership, and it cost the children of Israel. Moses' brother Aaron. Recall the golden calf incident. When Moses was up talking to God, the people grew impatient, surprised. And so they went to Aaron and said, "You got to do something for us." And so Aaron said, "Well, give me your jewelry." And all of a sudden, you know, he's explaining to Moses, "And I just threw all that in the fire and poof, here comes this golden calf. What was I supposed to do?" He wasn't faithful. And Moses had to be stern with the people. Another example of faithful leadership, King David. Now, he wasn't perfect, yet he was faithful when all was said and done. His heart truly was after the Lord. And he showed it time and time again. He was faithful in carrying out his kingly duties, in protecting the people, waging battle, protecting them physically, but also setting an example for them spiritually. In fact, so much so, he wanted to build a permanent temple for the Lord God. But the Lord said, "No, not you. You got bloody hands. But someone else will." David didn't complain, but he saw an opportunity to still carry out his desire by providing material goods and also setting the tone of how that was to be constructed for who would come after him. Faithful leadership, which started out of faithfulness to the Word. Then the ultimate example of faithful leadership and faithfulness to the Word is Jesus himself. Jesus in the flesh here on earth displayed faithful leadership, not by might, not by strong-arming people, but through his Word. Words of compassion, words of kindness, words of healing, words of forgiveness. His faithful leadership style is a model for us. While we don't have the power in and of ourselves to heal, we can announce God's forgiveness and give to people the best healing of all in the heart with God so that they can be at peace with themselves as they know they are at peace with God. And that can also then bring healing to the mind and the body. And the ultimate act of leadership on the part of Jesus was him taking all of our sins, all of our wandering moments, all of our bad decisions to the cross, where he paid for them all in full, not to be brought up against us again and again. Talk about leadership. Talk about faithfulness. All the way to the cross for you and for me and for all people. And not only did he die, right, he rose again. And because he lives, we too shall live. There we have the motive to be faithful to the Word, which also then includes faithful leadership. Because what did those leaders in the Old Testament, as well as leaders in the New Testament, have in common? They had a connection to the Word of God. They were called to be faithful to that Word. And by the grace of God, they were faithful, key word, to that Word. They recognized that some of them had a unique calling, a special calling from God. Moses, for example, was called directly by God to lead his people, Israel. The apostles were called directly by the Lord to lead the church at that time. And then there were others who were called not directly by God, but influenced by God. King David, Barnabas, Saul's co-worker, and our pastors and teachers today, who aren't called directly by God to serve the people in the church, but rather through the congregation, the body of believers, are called to serve faithfully. Faithful leadership flowing from faithfulness to the Word. And not just pastors and teachers are to be faithful leaders with the Word. Anyone who has a leadership position, especially within the church, is to be a faithful leader, and that starts with faithfulness to the Word. In the church, we are making spiritual decisions. Everything, in a sense, has a spiritual connection to it. How we use our offerings, how we decorate the church, how we worship, that's all spiritual. How can we make spiritual decisions if we're not in the Word? If we're not in the Word as leaders, then we're not being faithful leaders. And we shouldn't be leaders until we can be faithful with the Word. And it's not just in the church where that needs to take place, faithful leadership and faithfulness to the Word in the home. Whether they be a parent, father, mother, grandparent, sibling, we all have a leadership role in one way or another. Leadership doesn't mean it comes with a corner office and fancy titles. Whatever your vocation is, you can be a leader, an influencer, a faithful one, which flows from faithfulness to the Word. Because we see within the church and within the home too often when there's not faithful leadership and faithfulness to the Word, what happens? The church goes astray. It loses its purpose, its mission. It loses its doctrine, its teaching, its core. It just becomes another country club, another place of entertainment. And the family, the home, becomes broken. And the children don't know where to turn because there's no leadership. Faithful leadership is connected to faithfulness to the Word. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in the church or we're going to be perfect in the home. Thankfully, we're forgiven. Not an excuse, but a motive to want to be faithful with the leadership, whatever that looks like in our particular situation and time. Keeping in mind that faithful leadership starts with faithfulness to the Word. God did provide the children of Israel with another faithful leader. He raised up Joshua. He was equipped and prepared for that task. He had been working with Moses time and time again. So he got to observe a faithful leader. He was instructed in the Word. One of the qualifications, too, that served well for Joshua, he was one of those original spies that was to go and check out that earthly land. And he, along with Caleb, were the ones that said, we can do this. The other 10 said, woe on the optimism. But Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. And the Lord did not forget that. But that negativity that the other 10 displayed, it cost Israel another 40 years. But during that time, Joshua was being trained. And he was ready to take up the reins. And we hear about Joshua and his faithfulness in these words from Joshua 24. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That is how he lived his life. That is how he led. What about you? What does your faithfulness to the Word look like? Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith on page 7 with these words.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is our Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death.
All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him and his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally.
This is most certainly true. And we pray, Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions.
Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in all good works.
Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we have
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Lord, you created all things for our good, but with sin has come evidence that not all has remained good. For example, the drought we are experiencing, which can lead to destructive fires. We ask for your mercy on this land you have created. Refresh it with moisture. As fires take place, have mercy and limit the damage. Protect the firefighters. Restore the land and the lives impacted by these fires. This we ask knowing you have your reasons for allowing what you do, while also asking us to come before you with our petitions. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
And we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Just to highlight the Connect cards, if you haven't filled one out yet, please take the time to do so. You can find the blank Connect cards where you picked up the bulletin. You can return them in the basket there in the lobby where the lamp is, that table with the lamp on it. Also on that table are the welcome new teacher gift boxes. If you haven't done so already, you're welcome to place a gift card in there to welcome them after this. After today, we'll give them the cards that have been collected. You can welcome them any time, so it's not just limited to those boxes, but one big lump sum of gift cards are coming their way. Bible study for all ages taking place again today. Today will be the last Sunday we go through the book of 1 Corinthians. It'll take place here. Sunday school begins at 9:15 in the chapel, and then the teen class is upstairs in this building. Next week, we begin a new study, The Life of David, for an introductory on that Bible study. Direct you to the weekly news. Just a reminder that the parking lot, Monday and Tuesday, is planned to be resealed and restriped. So if you have church business that needs to be done in person and it can wait till Wednesday, please do so. You can still, if you need to get a hold of anybody on staff, email, phone, so forth, we're available that way. It's not a day off, just not in the parking lot, unless you want your car to be forever imprinted in the parking lot. Movie night coming up this coming Friday. We don't have a specific movie plan. We're going to have three options, and so whoever comes that night, you get to vote which one we're going to watch that night. So movie surprise. Bring your own food. We're not doing the food trucks yet. That's coming back in August, but for now, we're bring your own food, and we'll have popcorn and water provided. And then to see the weekly news for other news and events of things that are going on, continued blessings on your day, and also continued blessings on being the salt and light that God has called us to be as we seek by His grace to be faithful with His word. Thank you.